This is Fresh Air. I'm Jerry Gross. Link Wray was one of the first guitar heroes. His 1958 instrumental hit, Rumble, suggested something new, a raunchy, distorted guitar sound that could carry a band. The record influenced guitarists who came later, including Pete Townshend and Neil Young. Wray had other hit records, including Rawhide, but he left his American recording career in the 60s. He lives on an island off the coast of Denmark with his wife and son. He hadn't performed in the States for about 30 years, but his music was revived recently when it was used in such films as Pulp Fiction, Desperado, and Independence Day. Now at the age of 68, he just wrapped up an American tour. His latest CD, Shadow Man, was released in England earlier this year. Before we meet Link Wray, let's hear his first hit, Rumble. Rumble was named by the producer of the record, whose daughter said the sound reminded her of West Side Story. The record was banned in Boston because the title was too suggestive of gang fights. Earlier this month, I asked Link Wray if he had gang fights in mind when he recorded it.
No, not really, because, I mean, I've always wore the shades, but that's just a Southern thing. I mean, Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis, they all wear leather jackets and had long hair and wore shades. It's just a Southern thing that we did, you know. And but I was playing, like, Western swing music, if you will, you know, like Bob Wills' Western swing. I always had the heavy beat because my brother Doug, you know, who played on Rumble and all my early hits, he was a real loud drummer, you know. Frankie Avalon's manager said, that's the best drummer and the loudest drummer I've ever heard in my life, you know. So Doug was a great drummer, you know, and even when we was playing our Western swing music, you know, I guess we were playing early rock and roll in the 40s. I played live on Sheriff Tex Davis's show, the guy who wrote Bebopalula for Gene Vincent in the late 40s. I did live music on his show in Norfolk, Virginia. And we were playing that really heavy music on his country show, you know.
Now, Rumble has incredible distortion on it. And this was in the really early days of guitar rock. Why did you want that sound?
Well, you know, I was in the Korean War. You know, I lost a lung, and they had me in the VA hospital, and I was like hemorrhaging blood. Every time I'd breathe, I'd hemorrhage blood out. You know, and the doctors would say, the army doctors say, well, he'd be dead tomorrow. You know. But I'm very spiritual. I was raised and born to a Shawnee mommy, and I'm very spiritual. I'm not religion. I don't believe in organized religion, but I'm very spiritual, and I have a guardian angel who looks out for me. Because if I hadn't had my guardian angel last night, I would have probably had a broken leg instead of a sprained leg when I fell off the stage last night playing my wild rock and roll. And my God took me out of the death house, you know, where they thought I was going to die, and they took my lung out, and God takes me out of the death house and zaps Rumble in my head, and I had a 4 million seller in 1957, 58.
But I want to ask you again. I want to get specifically to the distortion. I think Rumble was one of the first records that really had a distortion in the guitar, really kind of like distorted.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you about that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
so
all right, in the night of Fredericksburg, Virginia, 1957, this year a disc jockey named Milt Grant, he had a local TV show in Washington, D.C., and he was and the stars would come and play on his show, you know, and he had like a dance show, you know, where the kids would dance, and then he'd bring them to the record hop that night. All right, that night, 1957, he had the Diamonds on his show, which had the number one song in Billboard called Strolling. All right, he brought him to the record hop that night, jumped up on the stage, said, Link, play me a stroll. I said, I don't know a stroll. And my brother Doug said, well, I know the beat of the stroll. And he was playing drums, you know, ba da da da, boom, ba bum, 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 you know? And so my God zaps rumble in my head, and I went, bum, 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 da, 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 you know? And my brother Ray takes the singing microphone and sticks it to the my amplifier, and the little small speakers from the singing amplifier starts rattling because I'm playing so loud, you know? And the kids started screaming, coming up to the stage, hollering, "We want that song," and they were screaming over me. And they didn't care about the diamonds anymore. They was really going wild over the sheer wild song I was doing, you know, wild instrumental I was doing. And I played it about four times for him before I left. And so Milt Grand, he smelt a dollar. You know, he could smell that was money there, you know, so him and my brother Ray got me into a studio. And when we started playing Rumble, you know, it was too clean. I couldn't get that sound I did in Fredericksburg at the show that night in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So I took a pencil and I started punching holes in the speakers, you know, of my both tweeters, not the big speaker. And so that was the first time that distortion was born, you know, because I didn't have boxes like Jimi Hendrix did when he came out, you know, 1968.
Now let me play the second hit that you have,
okay,
which is Rawhide.
Okay.
And tell me about making this record.
Rawhide, I was after I did Rumble, and it went up the charts and left. Then Milt Grant wanted to put me on a bigger label. So he took me away from Archie Blyer's Cadence, put me on Epic Records, and I made Rawhide was my second hit, came out. Dick Clark was playing it every day, even rated it on his show, best rating on his show, and it 98 with a bullet in the charts.
Well, let's hear your second hit, Rawhide. My guest is guitarist Link Ray. Link Ray's second hit, Rawhide. Now Duane Eddy, another one of the fathers of the guitar band, started recording in between your first two hits. What was his impact on you and your impact on him?
Well, no, when Rumble came out, he was on this, the Milt Grant show, the guy that I got started out with, you know, when I was doing all these record hops. And he said, "Link, I just put out a brand new song called Rebel Rouser." He said, "I hope it sells half as much as Rumble did." I said, "Well, why shouldn't it, man?" I said, "You're the twang guitar." I said, "My music is just as teenage gang fights. Yours is a twanger, you're the twanger, you know." He did most of his recordings, and his guitar work was on one string. You know, where I was going, blah, 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 you know, real wild, wild sound, you know. So we had two different sounds there, you know. And both of us had hit records in the 50s.
Did you like his work?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was a beautiful guy. I did one GAC tour with him, you know, where we played live, you know, when they had these here package tours, you know, GAC package tours, with all the stars were getting on in this year chartered bus and was driving all over America playing drive-ins and theaters and places.
Would you share with us one of your memories of being on the road with rock and roll shows in the early days of rock and roll?
You know, when I had Rumble out, you know, I was touring with the Bellhops, who had I Had It. They're beautiful, beautiful guys. And in a restaurant, I was eating the pizza, and they just laid me right down in the restaurant while the old people were looking and cramming pizza down my throat. We were just having fun, you know. And Jan and Dean came in with a bloody nose where they had a pillow fight in the bus. You know, his nose was bleeding with his white pants all rolled up to and barefooted. You know, it was just a life on the road. When we wasn't on the stage, just having a good time, you know, with each other, because it was like 40 stars jammed in this one bus, you know, and we were just having a a private rock and roll life, you know, when we went on stage. Then when we went on stage, man, it was just all these little girls are screaming so loud. I had to stick my fingers in my ears. I couldn't even hardly play my rock and roll because they were screaming louder than I was playing. It was brand new.
I think your very earliest music was singing in church.
Yeah, well, that was when I lived in North Carolina. My Shawnee mommy, like I said, I'm very spiritual. You know, I have a guardian angel, and I believe in my Jesus God, right? Because I sing in this your blue light. It's like a light. It was around my mother. You know, she wore a brace ever since she was 11 years old because a girl put her knee in her back and broke her back on the way home from school. And so she, like President Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt. She wrote to Franklin D. Roosevelt and asked, would he give her a brace? You know, so he came down there with a certificate, and she went over to Lillington Hospital in North Carolina and got herself a brace, and she went out into the fields and was preaching to the blacks and to the Cherokee Indians and to the poor whites, saying, you know, keep your morals high, believe in God, you know. And I me and my brothers, we were singing, you know, Will the Circle Be Unbroken, and all those gospel songs behind my mom, you know, when she was out there in the streets preaching, you know.
So FDR sent her a back brace?
Yeah, Franklin D. Roosevelt sent her a certificate, you know, because he was in a wheelchair. He was crippled, you know, from polio. And so when she wrote him, you know, the Cherokees, you know, they made her a brace after she was like paralyzed from 11 years old until she was 16 years old, you know, and she had to quit school after that in fourth grade, you know. She never went back to school, but she was paralyzed, and she couldn't stand up, you know, because of her back, her spine was completely broken, her back was broken, and her spine was like pushed over to one side. So the Cherokee Indians, you know, made her a homemade brace out of deer hide. And then she wrote to President Franklin D. Roosevelt, and he sent her a certificate. And his personal driver came down to our little hut in North Carolina. You know, we didn't have electric lights, you know. I didn't have any electric lights till I moved to Portsmouth, Virginia. And so he came down there with a certificate, and my dad took my mom over to Lillington Hospital, and they gave her a brace.
My guest is Link Wray, best known for his 1958 guitar hit Rumble. He now lives in Denmark, and he just wrapped up his first American tour in 30 years. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with guitarist Link Wray, whose records include the 50s instrumental hits Rumble and Rawhide. After you had a lung removed as a result of the tuberculosis that you got when you were fighting in Korea, you couldn't really sing.
I was talking like this. So I poured all my heart and soul into my music, you know.
Eventually, you started singing even though you'd had a lung removed. And I want to play one of your early vocal records. And this is Ain't That Lovin' You, Babe. Tell me how you decided to start singing on record.
You know, that's amazing. You saying you're going to play this one song, you know. And I get a lot of kids asking me for that song. I don't know why, because I couldn't hardly sing. I went, you know, because I couldn't hardly catch my breath trying to strain to get some words out, you know.
Well, let's hear it. And this is Link Wray singing and on guitar, Ain't That Lovin' You, Babe.
Ocean, I'd swim to the bank and crawl right home to you. Yeah. Ain't I love you, baby? 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 But you don't even know my name.
I should mention that this record that we just heard is actually reissued on a Rhino CD called Rumble, The Best of Link Wray. You stopped recording after several years. You just gave up commercial recording. Why did you give it up?
After Jack the Ripper came out, just before the Beatles, you know, Jack Nitzsche recorded Rumble with this big band sound, the guy who had Lonely Surfer, you know. And he had rumbled in the charts when President Kennedy got shot. And when he got shot, then my type of music, the Elvis music, and all that early music died with President Kennedy. And then morning music, you know, because they were mourning of the president. And then when the music started back up again, it was FM radio albums. And then here come the Beatles from England, you know, on the Ed Sullivan Show on Capitol Records doing I Want to Hold Your Hand. You know, and it was a different type of music. And it, and they also introduced to the audience LSD and all the drugs. I don't mess with drugs. You know, it's killed a lot of colleagues like Jimi Hendrix and a lot of people, you know. And so I'm very spiritual and I don't mess around with drugs. So I didn't want to play to the LSD crowd. So I retreated down to a little place in Maryland called the Two Thieves Club, playing to the rednecks, where they were getting drunk off beer and whiskey, and I was doing CCR and Elvis while the rest of the world was playing, you know, acid music, you know.
So you didn't mind people getting loaded, you just didn't want them getting high on LSD?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I just don't go with the drug stuff, you know.
Okay.
You know, I drink two more beer, and I drink Heineken on stage, you know. And, you know, I can, like I say, I'm wild, but I'm not evil. You know, I think drugs is Satan's candy. There's two powers. There's God and there's Satan. You know, I fell off the pit last night. I think Satan threw me into the pit last night. You know, he went, and I fell off into the pit last night while I was doing my raw rock and roll at Bimbo's in San Francisco. All right, God said, okay, Satan, you might have blown him off into the pit, but you're not going to break any bones, you know. So I just sprained my knee, you know. It's okay. So, I mean, I think LSD and all that drug stuff is Satan's candy, you know?
It's evil. So what happened last night when you fell off the bandstand?
Well, I was out there playing to the kids, and they were hollering and screaming, you know. They were, you know, I like to take my guitar and hand it to the kids and let them play it, you know. And they even was knocking, they were pulling the strings off my guitar, and I had to take my guitar off and give it to the guitar man. And while he was putting strings on that guitar, I grabbed up my other guitar, you know. My wife, Olive Julie, bought me a promotion guitar that they had for Harley Davidson. There's not very many of those guitars out. It's shiny, it's metal, it's aluminum, you know, but it's a Strat. It's a Strat and Inc., and it plays fantastic, you know. And thank you, baby, for giving me that guitar. And I was playing that last night, so I just went over to the side of the stage, you know, where the kids, you know, over, you know, I didn't want them to be left out of the show, you know what I mean? So I like to play to all the kids, you know, that come to see me. So I was heading towards the kids on the side of the stage as well as playing to the center of the stage. And when I did that, you know, I just stepped where there was no stage, and I just went down into the to the monitor pit where the monitor guy was, Freeway. He was down there, you know, in the monitor pit, and I fell down on top of him. Actually, he caught me, you know, but I sprained my leg as I went down.
You have a new record now called Shadow Man. Do you think your playing or your approach to the guitar has changed a lot since the 50s?
Well, I'm playing through a Boss Dynacom now, and I'm also playing through a little echo unit, you know, that I didn't have in the 50s, you know. And I'm playing through 100-watt, 200-watt Marshall amplifiers. I'm also playing through Fender Twins, which is very, very strong. Back in the old days, my old premium amplifiers and those little Sears and Roebuck amplifiers, what were 30 watts, 40 watts, you know. But they weren't very strong. I had to have a whole bunch of them just to get 50 watts out of them, you know. And so I'm playing louder music while screaming rock and roll, you know, Link Ray music, you know, and the kids go, wow, dude. I mean, they're pulling my strings off my guitar. I just hand my guitar to them, and they're playing it. You know, it's just a bunch of noise, you know.
Link Ray, I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Link Ray just wrapped up his first American tour in 30 years. Rhino Records has reissued many of his records on a CD called Rumble. His latest CD, Shadow Man, was released earlier this year in England.